Amen. You may be seated. It is an honor to be here with you guys. And just to introduce myself and my family, we are the BB family. I'm Corey, Dawn, and Natalie and Logan. And we are missionaries to the nation of Andorra and Spain. You've probably heard of Spain. You've probably not heard of Andorra. Most people haven't. It's okay. It's a small nation in between France and Spain in the Pyrenees Mountains. It's one of the smallest countries in the world. So we have the privilege of being the first missionaries to that country. And there's not too many countries that you can say that anymore about. But we are, and we believe that no matter how small or how great the nation is, every city, every nation, amen, deserves to hear the truth of the gospel. And we're very excited to be going there to plant the first church there. We live there for 15 months. We moved from Madrid. We lived there for 13 months, moved to Andorra for 15 months. And while we were there, we were able to see people be baptized for the first time in that nation, people to receive the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. And God is doing a great thing, amen, in a small nation. Amen. And we're very glad that God has allowed us to do that. Today marks a little bit of a sad day for us as far as the work is concerned. We had a young couple from Texas who came and took over our group that we had, and they left today to go back to the United States. Their year was up today. And so right now our group has no official pastor. They're going to send a few other missionaries from Barcelona, which is a city you've probably heard of. Barcelona is about a three-hour drive to Andorra, and you only get there by car or bus. Most places in Europe, you can get there by train or plane. Not in Andorra. You can't get there by plane. You can't get there by train. You have to drive. And so they're going to send a few aimers, such as associate and missions, to help. And during that time, I'm actually going to be speaking to the church for the first time in a long time on Saturday. Saturday, I should say, it will be noon our time, 6 o'clock their time. We're going to do a Zoom call and to reconnect with the church. So we're grateful for what the Prince family did while they were there and for a year, but now we are trying to reconnect and somehow still be connected clear across the ocean. It's amazing how technology can do that. So we are very glad that God has called us, but we are ready to get back. Yeah. You can imagine that our somewhat frustration with COVID and with deputation, it's just a normal thing. But we are ready and excited and willing to go back to begin that work. Really, the work has already begun, but to continue what God has already placed in our hearts, a burden for the nation of Andorra. And, of course, Spain. Spain has had a lot of revival in the last few years, and we're very glad to be a part of it. We, Brother Herod, Nathan Herod, is our missionary supervisor, and he cast the vision to Spain to double the churches in 5 years in 2015. By 2020, he wanted to see the churches double, and we have come very close to that. There is now 86 churches in the nation of Spain, where there was only 47 churches just a few years ago. So God is doing tremendous, tremendous work in the nation of Spain, and we're happy to be a part of it. We're missionaries to two nations. And so we're just excited. We're traveling right now, and we want to say thank you so much to Brother Roberts and his family allowing us to stay here. I don't know if you know this or not, but we've been hanging out here, and we're in the apartment here, and we'll probably be here for another few more days. And we just want to say thank you for opening up your doors, literally housing us and helping us stay warm. Amen. And so you have been a tremendous blessing, this church has already. And so we're very grateful to be here, to worship with you, to meet you. Your pastor and his wife has just been so wonderful. We've just been hanging out and talking, and I'm looking forward to that bonfire on Friday night. And so that'll be fun. And so got a chance to meet some of his family already. His brother helped me out, and then I helped his other brother the other day. So God has been good, and we're just grateful to be here. So we do have a video to show you to give you a little bit more information. If that video is ready, we can go ahead and show that. And let me just take you just for a few moments to Spain and Andorra. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Andorra, a place we had not yet heard of when God called us into missions, but a place that was on his heart. A beautiful people who love life and nature, but know little of its creator. A people that need to be awakened from spiritual darkness and brought into his marvelous light.
We began our missionary appointment as Amers in the nation of Spain. We were privileged to pastor an English-speaking church in the capital city of Madrid. We saw God move in mighty ways as we were able to preach to people from many different nations from around the world.
We are happy to report to you that there is a strong and growing church in the nation of Spain. In 2019, 966 souls were baptized in the name of Jesus, and 860 were filled with the Spirit. There is a great harvest happening, and we are thankful to be a part of it.
In 2015, the United Pentecostal Church of Spain had 47 churches. Missionary Nathan Herod cast the vision to double the churches by the end of 2020. As of December of 2019, we now have 82 churches in the nation of Spain. We believe that with the help of the Lord, we will reach our goal by the end of the year.
We caught the vision of our leadership to see new churches planted. We learned of a small neighboring nation that had never had a truth preaching church within its borders. God began to deal with our hearts, and he opened the doors for us to move and plant the first Oneness Apostolic Church in the nation of Andorra.
The Principality of Andorra is unique because it's the 16th smallest country in the world. It's nestled between Spain and France in the heart of the Pyrenees Mountains. The official language is Catalan, but Spanish is also widely spoken. Catholicism is the main religion of the nation.
Due to its ski resorts and duty-free shopping, over 10 million people visit every year. And because of Andorra's thriving economy, people move from all over the globe to find work there.
Andorrans have become a minority in their own country, making up only about 33% of the population. We have seen that diversity in our services, with not only Andorran visitors, but people from the Philippines, Brazil, Portugal, Spain, Colombia, and India. It's our desire to reach every people group who call Andorra home, and it's our goal this term to see a strong international church established for his glory.
Long before we went, prayer teams organized by missionaries had gone before us, praying that God would send forth laborers into this beautiful nation. We know that God is with us.
And we are already seeing him at work. Our first service, we had our family and six others in attendance. We began building relationships and teaching Bible studies. And our one-year anniversary service, we had 24 in attendance. People are receiving the Holy Ghost, and for the first time ever, to our knowledge, people are being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in this nation.
The name of Jesus is being proclaimed.
Light is piercing the darkness.
Seeds are being sown in a new harvest field.
Hope is being shared with the people of Andorra.
The mission of the UPCI is the whole gospel to the whole world by the whole church. And it's because of congregations like you who make that mission possible.
We want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your prayers and financial support. Together we can awaken Andorra.
Amen. Praise the Lord, church. So good to be here with all of you. Thank you so much, Pastor and Sister Roberts, for having us, for your hospitality. It has been a blessing to have a place to call home for a week or so. And so that's been so nice and just such a sweet presence of the Lord here on a Thursday night. And I don't ever want to take his presence for granted. We were singing that song, his presence is heaven to me. And there's a world out there that needs to feel and experience what we feel in this place tonight. And God has placed each one of you here in this church, in this city, to reach the lost, to reach people in your community. And God has called us to the nation of Andorra. And it's our desire to go that they might know and experience the power and the presence of God that we feel in this place tonight. Our mission statement, if you will, is awaken Andorra. And the Bible says, knowing the times, it's high time that we awake out of our sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. And so when you look around at all that's happening in the world, it's not hard to see that the coming of the Lord is soon, that our redemption is nigh, and we're looking forward to that day when we see him face to face. But there's still an urgency in our spirits to reach as many as we can before he comes. And so I believe that there's going to be many Andorrans around the throne in heaven. It's for every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and we believe that with all our hearts. And so we are anxious to get back. And as the video mentioned, the official religion is Catholicism, and there are many beautiful cathedrals and churches, but most of them are just museums today. You can go and people stand in line to look at the beautiful architecture and all that there is, but there are hungry souls. You'll go on certain holidays especially, and people will be crying out in front of a statue, and sometimes they will stand in line around city blocks to kiss the feet of a particular statue on a certain holiday, and if you make three wishes, one of them is supposed to come true, and that's what they're putting their hope in, and they're searching, they're hungry, but we know that the answer is only found in Jesus Christ, and so we're thankful that there is a church there, that the word of God is going forth, that truth is being preached, and so we're so grateful for that. And you can go with us. You may not be able to go physically to the nation of Andorra, but you can partner with us in prayer. There's power in prayer. And we can't do this all on our own, but when the church comes together, it's so awesome to be a part of the body of Christ. And together we can reach our world. And so we do have some bookmarks on our table in the foyer. They're free. Pick one up, stick it in your Bible or on your fridge, wherever you'll see it. And remember, pray for us and the work there. We know God is going to do great things, and so we are so thankful. And just a quick shout out to special offerings when you give to things like Mother's Memorial and She's for Christ. We want to say thank you so much for that. That goes to help purchase vehicles for missionaries. And as you saw, Andorra is very mountainous, and so when we get back, we will definitely need a reliable vehicle. And so when you give to those special offerings, Mother's Memorial, it helps with vehicles, with appliances for missionaries, and also helps put our nationals through Bible college. And it's so important when they go to Bible college, they're going out into the harvest. They graduate, they go out and plant churches. We can't do it all on our own. We're just one family. We can only plant so many churches, and we can train and equip leaders to go out in the harvest field and to reach their own cities, their own nation. That's what it's all about. And so when you give to those things, it helps put students through school, and we appreciate that so much. God bless you. Thank you for having us.
No eye may hold you, God. No eye may hold you, God. Aquí yo quiero estar. Perdido en tu amor. Perdido en tu amor. No eye may hold you, God. No eye may hold you, God. Aquí yo quiero estar. Perdido en tu amor, perdido en tu amor. Enciende en fuego en mi corazón, que arde en mi ser, fuera de control. Quiero más de ti, Dios. Quiero más de ti, Dios. Enciende en fuego en mi corazón, bloqueo de mi ser fuera de control. Quiero más de ti, Dios. Quiero más de ti, Dios. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love. Here in your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love. Here in your love. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. 'Cause I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. 'Cause I want more of you, God. I want more and more and more. Oh, better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Say, es mejor un día en tus atrios. Es mejor un día en tu casa. Es mejor un día en tus atrios que mi fuera de ellos. Una vez más. Sí. Es mejor un día en tus atrios. Es mejor un día en tu casa. Es mejor un día en tus atrios que mi fuera de ellos. Say, better is one day. Better is one day. Better is one day than thousands elsewhere. Es mejor. Say, es mejor un día. Es mejor un día. Es mejor un día que me fuera de ellos. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love. Here in your love.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Amen. There's no place that I'd rather be than, amen, in the house of the Lord. Amen. In a relationship with the Lord. Amen. I don't care what the ads tell you. I don't care what the world tells you. What Hollywood or LA or New York or Nashville tells you. Amen. There's no greater life than to live a life pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. This world will tell you that success can be found by just working really hard, or happiness can be found and not being committed to your spouse, or happiness can, joy and fulfillment in this life can be found by pursuing worldly things. But we know that that's a lie. Amen. That this world has nothing to offer but death and destruction. But Jesus said that I've come that you may not have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. So when we give all of ourselves to Jesus Christ, he promised us in return, he would give us life. He would give us a hope. He would give us a desire, amen, that goes beyond what this world can offer. And I'm looking forward to that day when he calls me home. Is anybody excited, amen, about one day? when he says, come up. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you will turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 27. Amen. Amen. I never really know what I'm going to preach. I've got several messages that I preach over and over again, and just never really know. But I just can't. I think this is what I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart tonight, and I hope that this ministers to you. Amen. Psalms chapter 27. The scripture says this: "Hear, O Lord, when I cry." Verse 7. Psalms 27, verse 7. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Mercy also upon me and answered me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." I want to preach to you for the next few moments on the subject, hide and seek. Hide and seek. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would help us, Lord, to preach your word, to minister to those who are present here today. Lord, let us not just be hearers of the word, but let us be doers of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. One of my favorite games to play as a child was hide and seek. Amen. Everyone knows that game, right? Amen. It's a favorite. For those of you who may not have ever heard of it, which is probably none in the room, let me explain the rules. So you get together with a group of people. You all choose somehow, whether, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by its toe or whatever. I don't know, however they choose. And one person is chosen to be it. What is it? The seeker. They're chosen to be the seeker. And this person now has to hide his face. And they start counting, you know, say to 100. 1, 2, 98, 99. 100. And what are those famous words that is heard? They make a call out to all of those who have scattered and have tried to hide. They say, ready or not, here I come. No matter if you're ready or not, I'm going to find you. I'm going to seek after you. I'm going to find you. And in playing with a group of friends around your same age can be a lot of fun, especially if there's a lot of good hiding spots. You know, outside is a lot of fun, especially around dusk time when it's not quite dark, but it's not quite, it's not full light. You know, it's just a good time to hide. And it's a lot of fun when, you know, there's a lot of hiding places and stuff like that. Well, as you get older and you start having kids of your own and your kids want to play hide and go seek with you, it's a little different when you're playing hide and go seek with a 3-year-old. 3-year-olds aren't the best at hiding. I mean, bless their little hearts. But they love to play. And so they say, Dad, I want to play hide and go seek. I'll play. And we're like, okay. So you count, and you don't count to 100. You count to 10 because they're not going to take 100 times. You know, counting to 100 to find a place. They know where to go, and it's maybe like under a blanket or something, or in the shower. You know, and shh. And then they pull back the curtain, and you know they get in, and they're not discreet at all. You know, if you know exactly where they're at, they run and exactly. It's not really hard to find them. And so you have to, in order for the game to go on a little bit longer, you kind of have to take your time. I don't know if you've done this or not, if you've had kids, and you go, where's Natalie? Logan, where are you? Are you behind the piano? No, not there. Are you behind the pulpit? No, not there. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, all right. I'll make sure I'm not the only one who's done this. And you know exactly where they're at. And you go into the bathroom. You pull back the curtain. And there they are. Oh, Dad, I hit good, didn't I? Yes, you did. You're so smart. I didn't know where you were. And we play the game again. No, Dad, you go hide. Okay. You know, and then the game keeps going on and on and on. It seems sometimes that God seems to hide from us. There are times when we can't find him. There are times in our lives when his presence is not quite as near as we would like it to be. Where are you, God? Are you out there? Are you listening to me? I can't seem to find you. I know in my life that there have been times when God has not been easily found or felt. Can anyone agree with me? You know what I'm talking about? I'm not the only one. Many writers in Scripture felt the same way. Job said it this way: on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Psalms 13:1 says, how long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? I'm don't know where you're at, and I'm, to be quite honest, getting a little frustrated that I can't find you. But we are instructed in the Scriptures over and over again to seek after God and to seek after the things of God. The Scripture says, and it tells us over and over, that we are to seek his strength, his face, seek the commandments of the Lord, seek him in the morning, seek his name, seek him with our whole hearts, seek his precepts, seek good, seek knowledge, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But God doesn't leave us in the dark, searching for something that cannot be found. We are promised in the Word that if we seek him, we will find him. Jeremiah 29:13 says this: and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. What are you willing to do to find him? How desperate are you to seek after him? How far are you willing to go to know where he's at? Are you willing to search diligently with your whole heart? The Scripture says in Acts 17 that they should seek the Lord, if happily they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. If we seek him, we will find him. And I know that sometimes it seems that God can seemingly be a million miles away from us, but that's not true. The Scripture says that he is not far from any one of us. He is near. He's readily available, but you have to want to know him. He's not going to reveal himself unless you are actively seeking and diligently searching after the things of God. In the parables that Jesus told, he would sometimes hide the meaning. Now, parables as a whole are designed to help make things more clear, but Jesus used parables in a different way. He oftentimes would use parables in a way to make things a little bit more complicated or to hide the meaning behind the parable. And you see over and over again how Jesus talked, and people would be like, what are you talking about, man? You know, I don't understand. And sometimes people would walk away and say, he's crazy. I don't understand what he's talking about. But those that were hungry stuck around a little bit longer. And the disciples said, you know, Jesus, you told this parable of the sower. What are you talking about? What do you mean? And I think Jesus is just trying to just kind of throw something out there just to see who's hungry, who's willing to go the extra mile, someone who's willing to ask more questions, stick around around the altar just a little bit longer after the service has been dismissed, someone who's willing to search the scriptures like those did in Berea. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they were willing to search out the scriptures and ask questions. They were hungry. There was something in their spirits that said, I've got to know him, and I've got to do whatever it takes to seek after this God. Who sometimes is obscure. The Bible says if we're hungry for truth, we will be satisfied with the truth. Amen. He will reveal himself to us. The Bible says that it's an act of faith, for it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's not about just coming to a church and crossing our arms and you know, kind of laying back and saying, oh, I'll just let the, you know, every God just come to me. That's not how it works. He wants to know who's hungry for him. Who's desperate enough and who desires God? He's not some statue up on a hill somewhere. He's a God that desires personal relationship. And you know what? He wants to know, do you want him? Amen. He's already proven his love on the cross. Now it's your turn to say, hey, you know, Jesus, I want you more than anything. Amen. So I want to encourage you today to seek the Lord. But if we're honest today, we also try to hide from God. Now, we may not think of it that way, but we do sometimes try to hide or run from the things of God. Genesis 3 tells us a story about the first human beings who, when they ate of the tree, they realized that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and they made themselves aprons, and then they heard the voice of the Lord. They hid themselves in the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. We find how it's our sin sometimes can expose us, and we don't like that. We want to hide it. We want to conceal it. We want to bury it. We don't want to be in the presence of a holy God when there's sin in our lives. That's an uncomfortable place to be. And so you see where other people in Scripture also ran from the presence of God or tried to hide themselves from the presence of God. Jonah tries to run from a calling that God has placed on his life to go to Nineveh. And he thought he could hide from God in the bottom of a ship. And Moses, when he killed someone, he tried to figure out a way to get, you know, remove the consequences. He flees into the desert and he tried to hide from what God, he knew what God was calling him to do, what God wanted him to do. And David thought he could hide his sin, amen, from God and from the people when he slept with Bathsheba and she had a kid, and then he murdered her husband. You see, God will find us. The Bible says that when God came into the cool of the day, just as normal, he came and he was like, Adam, where are you, Adam? Where are you, Adam? Do you think God didn't know where Adam was? He knew exactly where he was. It's like me playing hide and seek with my kids. Where are you, Adam? Are you there? And he's just waiting for Adam to reveal himself to God. I'm right here, Lord. What are you doing, Adam? Well, I'm hiding from you. Why are you? Because I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? Well, you see, I messed up. I disobeyed. And they tried to hide it. They tried to make excuses. And we lie to ourselves if we think we can hide from the presence of God. Psalms 139 verses 7 through 12 says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from me thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the night are both alike to thee." In other words, you can't hide from God. There's no place that you can go in this earth and the sky beneath the earth, darkness, light. You know, you may be able to hide in darkness from people, but you can't hide in darkness from God because he sees it all. And God found Moses, and he called him from a burning bush to deliver his people. And God found Jonah in the bottom of a ship and sent a storm his way and a big fish to get his attention. And 1 year after David hid his sin, God sent the prophet Nathan to ask for an audience with the king. And I don't have time to go through the whole story, but David gets upset when he tells him a story and pronounces judgment on a story that was disguised, that was hidden in its own self to disguise the meaning. David says, "He killed the man shall be killed." And the prophet says, "You are the man. You've been trying to hide your sin, David, but today I'm going to declare it open before all of Israel." 2 Samuel 12:12-13. "Thou didst secretly, but I'm going to expose it. I'm going to open this thing up before the whole people of Israel." And we know the story. David then repented of his sin. You see, God is on the search for those who will make a hedge for him. And John tells us that the Lord is looking for people and seeking people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And in Luke 19, Jesus says that "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." God is on a search for people. He's looking and he's trying to find those who are willing, who are ready, available to say, "Here I am, God." There's going to come a day when God says, "Ready or not, here I come." I don't know when that day will be. The Bible says no man will know the day or the hour when the Son of Man comes. And you know, another thing is that even if we did know, the chances of making it to that day are pretty slim. Because the majority of humans are going to die before that day comes. But there will come a day when he will come back, or there will come a day when you will no longer breathe your last breath. And when he comes back, the scripture says, will he find faith on the earth? Will there be others who are faithfully serving him? Or when he comes back, will there be a lot of people who are trying to hide from him. Revelation chapter 6, and it talks about when God comes, when Jesus comes back again. And it says that there will be many people all over the world who will say to the rocks and to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. My question here today is, are you ready? Are you still trying to hide from him? Are you trying to flee from his presence? Can any man hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord. Amen. Can you really hide from him? Why are we trying? Why do we do this? Why do we try to hide from his presence when we know deep down in our hearts that's impossible for us to do? And so instead of hiding from him, there is a solution that we find in Scripture. We don't have to hide from him, but we can hide in him. I want to declare to you today that we serve a merciful and loving and gracious God. Now, there will be a time that his judgment will come. His mercy does not negate his judgment, but his judgment does not negate his mercy. And we cannot hide from him, but we can certainly hide in him. Psalms chapter 91 and verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. You know, there's a lot of things that are messed up in this world, and there's a lot of things that I don't understand, and there's a lot of times that I would rather try to hide from him, amen, but I might as well just come open and honest before him and say, God, here I am. I'm going to expose myself. I'm going to become vulnerable in your presence. There's no use in hiding what you already know anyway. I can't run from you. I can't hide from you. So I'm just going to run to you. I'm going to hide in your presence. And in your presence, I know that if I come clean and if I'm honest and if I repent of my sins and if I say, God, I need your help, you are faithful to forgive me of my sins. You are faithful to take me in your arms of love. You are faithful to cover me in your wings. Amen. And I can trust in you, and I can find refuge in your arms, and I won't have to be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flieth by the day. You will be my shield. You will be my buckler. You will be the one that I can run to in time of trouble. I'm not going to hide anymore from your presence, but I'm going to run to you with my arms open. You see, that's the key in a relationship with God. Amen. He sometimes seems to hide from us, but if we seek him, he doesn't want to hide himself from us all the time. He just wants to know, how bad do you want him? And so he calls us to seek after him, and the same goes in return. Amen. If we will open up our hearts to him, amen, he will find us. Amen. And we can find him. Amen. I want to close with this. If someone would come back to the music. Clint Brown wrote a song, and I just love this song. He says this: I could parade my successes, keep the hurt inside. In other words, I could make it seem as if everything's okay on the outside. I could put a facade on. You know, the term hypocrite comes from the idea of someone who is putting on a mask and playing a a role in a play. They are pretending to be something that they're really not. That's where the root word for hypocrite comes from. And so many times we come into the church, or we go into town, or we go amongst friends or family, and we put this facade on, we put this mask on, and we could easily parade our successes and, how you doing? I'm doing great. But deep down, we're hurting. But I've got to tell somebody the part of me I hide. And since you are my Father, where else could I go? There's no use in hiding what you already know. There are no secrets in the secret place. I've been told that in your presence, I don't have to be ashamed. So with trembling hands, I'll remove the mask that's on my face, because there's no secrets in the secret place. Sometimes we just get alone with God and we're in His presence, and we can just be vulnerable, and we can just tell Him all of our problems and our fears and our worries and, yes, our sins. He will not condemn us. He will not turn us away. But He will wrap us in His arms, and He will forgive us, and He will love us, and He will give us hope and direction and a purpose. Don't hide from His presence, but run to Him and say, here I am, Lord. I'm going to stop pretending. I'm going to stop acting like I've got it all together. The Bible talks about how God gives grace to the humble. There's something so powerful that draws Him to those who are willing to humble themselves and seek His face. I never want to get so full of myself, so full of pride, so worried about what others may think of me, that when it comes to being in His presence, I say, you know what? I'm just going to give Him a little bit. No, that's not how it works with God. It's all or nothing. He says, search for me with your whole heart. And when I do, I don't have to run from Him, but I can hide in Him. I want to declare to you today, we serve a God that loves us, who cares for us, who desires to see you succeed. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge openly my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Behold, Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. If you're going to hide anything from me, hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. But above all else, cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. I've got to have your presence. I've got to have your Spirit living inside of me. Lord, I don't want to be those who when you come back, I want to hide from you. But Lord, let me hide in your presence. For in his presence, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. Oh, there's no greater place that I'd rather be than in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why don't we stand? We can call out to him, Abba Father. Abba Father. And we can run to him. And we can tell him our pain. And we can tell him our fear. And we can tell him our sin. He will be there. He will hear our cry. He will hear our plea. And he will answer us. And he will forgive us. And he will make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. And he will work when it doesn't look like, amen, he's working. Even when I don't see him working, I know he's working in my life. Come on, let's seek the Lord today while he may be found. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. And when you do, don't hold back. Search for him with all your heart and say, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Hallelujah. I invite you to pray. I invite you to talk to the Lord. I invite you to let his loving arms surround you. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Oh, I love you today, Lord. I love you today, Lord. I'm not going to run from you. I'm going to run to you.
Every breath that I take, every moment I
Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Here I am, Lord, hiding in the closet. Amen. God wants to hide us in His presence. Amen. Thank you for a reminder that He's still there. Amen. He's still there. You may not feel like He's there. You may not be seeing Him there, but He's there. Amen. He's just waiting for you to seek Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a presence of the Lord that I feel right now. Amen. Brother Dave, aren't you glad that you told God, I'm here, Lord. I'm ready. Here I am. Probably wish you'd have done it sooner. Yeah. Amen. Don't we all? Amen. So many times we can get sidetracked with life. Amen. And forget about seeking God. And God just pulls back and, amen, we need to get back into that seeking mode. Finding God. Finding His goodness. Amen. Because He wants to be among us. Amen. He wants to be working for us. Praise God. God bless you. Amen. Take this.